I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, the manhunt continues for a Washington State dad on the run after killing his three daughters. Plus, growing blowback after a boy wins a girls' state track title in Washington State for the second consecutive year. And a notorious, exhausting socialist has launched her campaign for Congress. Unfortunately, we'll discuss that and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month. We are still running that 30% off promo for about another week. If you want 30% off your first year of Undivided, just use the promo code 300, that's the number 300, at patreon.com/undivided. Friends, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Turned out to be a pretty crappy 2 days to be off the show. There was a lot of news that happened over the weekend. Starting off with a kind of something unusual for us, only because, you know, we do reach a lot of people in Washington State. So we have an obligation, of course, to help with the efforts to track down Travis Decker. This, of course, has become national news. He is a Washington State father currently on the run after murdering his three little girls over the weekend near Leavenworth. Heartbreaking. Look, I'm not going to get into the details of the brutal way in which he killed them. If you want to, for whatever reason, know more about that, you can go look it up. It's just absolutely too heartbreaking, the whole situation. We'll get into, you know, why someone who was homeless most of the time had a visitation with his three daughters to begin with. We'll get into that in a moment. But of course, I think the most urgent and pressing thing, and the thing that we need to help with and all of you need to help with, is trying to track Travis Decker down. We do know from the Chelan County Sheriff's Office, they have an ongoing, you know, assistance from the feds, aerial search, ground search. This is a very heavily wooded area, as you know, for anyone who's been to Leavenworth. It's a mountain town, very popular with tourists, sort of a Christmassy type town, Bavarian Village. And there's a lot of trails around there. There's a lot of ground to cover. And this is someone who, former military, has a lot of experience, unfortunately, with survival training and wilderness survival training. And so I think law enforcement certainly has their hands full. I mean, if, you know, I know I share probably your hope that he did what he should have done and took himself out in the course of all this, and he's just waiting somewhere to be found. But of course, they need to continue to look for him because he poses a serious danger to everyone who he might encounter. And I think I'm particularly concerned as well, given what we now know he's capable of the fact that this is, like I said, a tourist area in a very busy time of the year for the wilderness area out near Leavenworth, Washington, and for the trails. I've been on many of them. And so anyone who's going to be visiting that vicinity needs to know what he looks like and needs to know not to approach him, to call law enforcement immediately so they can get boots on the ground and track him down. This is the Chelan County Sheriff, Mike Morrison, who spoke to the media and had a message for Travis if he's watching.
We will not rest until Travis is located. Travis, if you're listening, this is your opportunity to turn yourself in. Do the right thing, do what you need to do, and take accountability for your actions. We're not gonna go away, we're not gonna rest, and we're gonna make sure we find you. You will be brought to justice. Those young ladies deserve it.
Yeah, and every time there's a story like this too, I also think of law enforcement and the first responders. The sort of things they see and that they have to take home with them every day, and that they have to live with as well. I could never do a job like that. And so I certainly am so grateful for all of those first responders, and my heart goes out to those who came upon this scene. So a few details of his three daughters. Peyton was 9 years old. Evelyn was 8 years old. Olivia was 5 years old. He was estranged from his wife, but it sounded like they had a pretty cordial relationship still. You know, there's a lot of pontificating out there about why was he allowed to have a visitation with his daughters in the first place. This was at a campground. He was mostly homeless. He was certainly having some challenges as a veteran. He was ordered to have mental health treatments and anger management counseling as part of the parenting plan. But in terms of the parenting plan, it sounds like, you know, the mom really believed that He wasn't dangerous, that he loved his daughters, that he would never do anything to hurt them. So she wasn't opposed to him having visitation with them, although he wasn't supposed to have overnight visitation. So it was like a few hours at a time. She did apparently tell law enforcement that when he picked up his daughters for what was just supposed to be a 3-hour visit on Friday, he was kind of quieter than usual, which she told law enforcement was out of character for him. I hate to sort of, I don't want to get into a guessing game about what a court was thinking, you know, or a blame game on any of it. It does sound outrageous to me, though, that someone who's homeless would have any sort of unsupervised visit with their children. I don't think all homeless people are bad people. I don't think all homeless people are dangerous people. But certainly there's an element of, I guess, instability or unpredictability amongst a homeless population. I say that having had a father who was homeless at the end of his life, where I just don't know that that's the best environment for children to be, period. And certainly not unsupervised. And so I think there's some questions that the state has to answer in this case. But again, the most important thing is to share Travis Decker's photo far and wide to make sure anyone in that vicinity. And I would imagine he's still in the area, to be honest. Again, there are hundreds of miles of wilderness for him to hide in. I believe he was Ranger Battalion. So he certainly is going to have a pretty profound capability to survive out there and to elude law enforcement. So everyone needs to know what he looks like. Do not approach him. He's obviously dangerous. Horrific case. The nation's attention on Leavenworth today, and understandably so. And I guess we can play this with the Wenatchee Captain Brian Chance, because again, there continues to be this conversation about why did he have visitation with his girls to begin with? And Captain Brian Chance with Wenatchee PD sort of reiterated what I just explained to you there.
There was no reported history of problems with the parenting plan. There were reported concerns of Travis being homeless and financially stressed recently.
Yeah, so there were a few stressors going on in his life. Obviously, no stressors that would justify murdering your 3 young daughters in cold blood. Horrible, just horrible stuff. So we'll continue to keep you guys updated on that. All right, I want to move on to what was also a big headline over the weekend. Nicole was in Texas, and she got out of the pool and messaged me from the pool so we could get this news out. So first, not a surprise, the thing that never happens again. A boy, in this case, for the second year in a row, won the 2A 400-meter girls state track championship. Here's the end of the race.
Garcia is your state champ in that 2A 400.
Yeah, Veronica Garcia is a boy, and that name probably sounds familiar because Veronica Garcia, a boy, also won last year. Although I think there's one key difference this year. There is far more blowback. Far more parents and female athletes are absolutely fed up, and they don't care. If people think they're horrible human beings for saying so. In fact, when Veronica Garcia took the podium, here's what happened.
Second place, Lauren Matthews. And first place, your 2025 winner, in a time of 55.70 from East Valley of Spokane, Veronica Garcia.
Yeah, I mean, I hate booing a kid, and I've said this over and over. At the end of the day, it's a child that is playing by the rules that he's allowed to play by. Adults have put him in this situation. Adults have continued to allow this to happen. So part of me feels bad, like still booing a kid, but at the same time, how do you voice your displeasure with something that's absolutely insane? And in this studio, we had a biological boy who sat down with us for an hour and talked about playing against girls in basketball, and was totally reasonable about it. And I think old enough to sit there and kind of realize, yeah, I guess there are some elements of this that's unfair. And so, you know what? I kind of reject the notion that Veronica Garcia doesn't understand or know that, hey, biologically, I probably have an advantage here. And maybe that's why I've won the girls state track championship for 2 years in a row and didn't win it when I was running against the boys. Like, that's the question they can never seem to answer. For anyone who would support this, Why does a man who couldn't win against the men win against the women? Why? Why? Could it be that there's a biological difference? It's just insane stuff. And the real winner that we'll all give a round of applause to, Lauren Matthews, who I'm told doesn't like the spotlight very much, like isn't really one to speak out about these things, but took a picture holding a sign that said Washington State Track and Field Real Girls 2A 400 meter champion. Congratulations to Lauren on her actual championship that was stolen from her. So then the media comes in, and of course the media has to confuse the hell out of everyone with their headlines. The Seattle Times: East Valley senior Veronica Garcia, Washington's first transgender high school track champion, celebrated her second consecutive Class 2A state title amid boos on Saturday. Yeah, his second consecutive. We just have to stop. I'm done with it. And the media, how can you trust any media outlet that calls a boy a girl, just as a regular matter of course? It doesn't make any sense in the world. And of course they did this, and last year they did too, when Veronica Garcia won last year. Garcia also spoke to the Seattle Times, and again, seems to have no remorse, spoke to the Seattle Times again. I'll be honest, I kind of expect it, Garcia said, but it maybe didn't have their intended effect, talking about the boos. It made me angry, but not angry as in I wanted to give up, but angry as in I'm going to push. I'm going to put this in the most PG-13 way. I'm just going to say it's a damn shame they don't have anything else better to do. I hope they get a life, but oh well, it just shows who they are as people. One of the things that Martin Luther King always pointed out is you have to do what's right. Even if there comes risk, you still have to do what's right. He thinks he's Martin Luther King Jr. As a boy competing against girls who he has a bi, smoking girls. This is a, can you play, Nicole? I don't know about you. This is a once around the track, right? Still 400 meters, right? This is usually, I was in track when I was in high school. This is usually something where, like, you're down to the finish line between first and second. Does this look like something down to the finish line? Within seconds? No, he smoked them. This is getting smoked in the 400 meters. Yeah, that's getting smoked in the 400 meter. Wasn't even close. And you think you're comparing yourself to MLK for stealing girls' state track championships from them. I don't feel bad for you at all now. I'm sorry. I know you're a kid still. I don't feel bad for you at all. And people need to get a life. They have nothing else better to do. You say that to the girl who you beat and her family? Because, yeah, that's significant to them. For 2 years in a row. It's a very significant thing to have a state title stolen from you by someone who has a clear biological advantage. Seattle Times, losing its mind. I will say, though, with the blowback, I was very proud to see more young girls standing up for themselves. So the Tumwater girls team placed third in 2A as a team, and they took a picture on the podium wearing Keep Women's Sports Female shirts. I love the bravery because, you know, there are people who are going to vilify them for it. I'm sure they'll even get in trouble for it at school or something. But for them to stand up there, for six of them to wear a shirt that says Keep Women's Sports Female is absolutely awesome. And that's not it. The next day, Monday morning at school, some of them, they didn't walk out of classes. It was during their free time. But they went out, they took a picture and staged a protest outside of Tumwater High School, saying, their banner said, "This is not a walkout. We are not going anywhere." Saying, "Make women's sports female again. Protect female sports." And this was, you'll see her in the front. She's easy to spot because she's got the red hair. Frances Stout, who you know because you've watched her on this show, who helped organize this at Tumwater High School. Frances Stout, of course, is the Tumwater junior who sat out her final basketball game of the year because she did not want to play against a biological boy on the other team. And her story went national. The Tumwater School Board ended up taking a symbolic vote saying they don't support boys participating against girls. They were vilified for it by the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction, basically threatened over it by the state, which I also have to say, you know, I don't believe that we've talked enough about how truly disgusting it is for grown men like Chris Rakedahl, the superintendent of public instruction, Bob Ferguson, the governor,
and Nick Brown, the attorney general, for grown men to support, advocate, and defend boys beating girls, boys invading girls' spaces. Isn't that weird? Like, think about that. That is incredibly messed up. And then I've got Bob Ferguson on social, Governor Ferguson on social media over the weekend. Oh, sitting down for a, you know, lunch or something with his daughter, who he always posts, who's in her softball uniform, and she's in athletics. And that picture sums up so much. Do you think that she has to play against boys at her elite private school? Of course not. She's not playing against boys. And Bob Ferguson, who wants to dictate to you and to all of us about public schools and being accepting, and this is going to happen in public schools, doesn't even send his kids to public school. Sends his kids to private school. Supports his daughter and her athletics where she doesn't have to play against boys. You think he would feel the same? And it's easy when your child's not having to play against boys for you to say, oh, well, I don't think that would be such a big deal. Well, your daughter's not the one losing to boys. Your daughter's not the one having opportunities and titles and distinctions stolen from her by boys. And this story went crazy over the weekend because it also happened in California. Although California was trying to take some steps under threat from the Trump administration to mitigate, you know, potential issues by, I think, putting like the transgender athlete in their own category or something like that. But they always like, this never happens. What did Chris Reichdahl said last week? Boys aren't in girls' locker rooms. Yes, they are. We've literally interviewed them saying they're in girls' locker rooms. They want us to believe this isn't happening. This doesn't happen, but it is happening at the highest levels in high school athletics, in collegiate athletics. And I do believe, though, that we're starting to see people speak out in a way that they weren't willing to just even a few months ago, where these things were totally taboo. I mean, we can't do that. You listen to the boos at Veronica Garcia as he was awarded first place. That wasn't a few years ago when we used to play clips like that. That was a couple boos. That was like the whole crowd. I hardly heard any cheering. And I hate that it's come to that. I don't want to boo kids, but at the same time, we have to do something about it. So if it has to be girls walking out of class in protest, if it has to be parents booing a biological boy who wins first place, if it has to be girls standing on a podium wearing shirts that say, keep women's sports female, I guess that's what it has to be. Riley Gaines was all over this over the weekend, brought a lot of a national attention to this issue and to this particular race and to the bravery of these girls who are starting in great numbers to stand up for themselves. And I saw that. And again, Nicole had to get me the picture. She like jumped out of a pool. Good job, Nicole. That's a producing excellence. And said, we got to put this up of the Tumwater girls outside of school holding their banners saying this is not a walkout because we're not going anywhere. So this is not the last we're going to hear on this. Hopefully this is another thing that gets the attention of the Trump administration as well, to try to put the screws to Washington State and Chris Reichdahl and Bob Ferguson and Nick Brown, who are just fine with your girls losing to boys, who as grown men are just fine with boys being naked in a locker room with your minor girls. Weird stuff. Absolutely weird stuff. All right, man, I thought we were done with Shama Sawant. I thought we were done with the socialist. She's so annoying, but we're not done with her at all. She's mounting a campaign for Congress. We'll talk about it next in our segment, Unbelievable. First, our friend Zach Abraham and his team at Bulwark Capital specialize in managing risk, which right now, I mean, certainly there's been some ups and downs in the markets this year as the first Trump administration has begun and some of the economic policies and tariffs. So if you've been watching that and it has you uneasy, there's a chance that you might need a second opinion on your retirement portfolio. If it's been fluctuating that much, there's a chance it's not properly managed against risk. And look, we only get one retirement. You want to make sure that it is protected and that all the things that you've dreamed of can actually come to fruition. So why not get a free review with our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark? Go to knowyourriskradio.com, knowyourriskradio.com. They'll take a look at your portfolio. He'll give you his honest opinion, and then they'll do a full reveal of how Bulwark is always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. You only get one retirement. Get a second opinion. Schedule your free Know Your Risk portfolio review now at knowyourriskpodcast.com. That's knowyourriskpodcast.com. All right. Socialist Shama Sawant is back, and this time she's running for Congress. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. Da, 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 Oh, God. I just hate that now we're going to have to talk about Shama Sawant. And yes, we have to. And look, good content. Who am I kidding? It's good content, right? So, of course, if you're not familiar, Shama Sawant served 3 terms on the Seattle City Council as a socialist. She represented District 3 in Seattle, which is Capitol Hill, the most far-left district. She was the subject of a recall. So even at the end of her time in Seattle, she was wearing on even the leftiest of the leftists, because she clearly, and one of the routine criticisms of her, was she cared more about the National Socialist Movement and more about building her own personal brand than she did actually serving the needs of her constituents on Capitol Hill. I mean, for instance, during what, you know, we're now at the 5-year anniversary of Chaz Chop. She was very supportive of that, very supportive of taking over 6 square blocks, wasn't responsive at all to businesses and to residents who were concerned about their safety and concerned about the, you know, the how it hindered a police response during that period of time. She was always talking about her national socialist talking points, wouldn't show up at community meetings, didn't care about really the mundane parts of being a Seattle City Council member. So now she wants to run for Congress. She announced her campaign in the 9th Congressional District, which is a seat currently held by a friend of the show, Congressman Adam Smith, who is a more reasonable Democrat, or as she calls him, warmongering Democratic Congressman Adam Smith. She said, "Today I announced my working class, anti-war, anti-genocide campaign for U.S. Congress. Our demands: end the genocide in Gaza, free health care for all, tax the rich, and we need rent control. Make corporate landlords pay." Ah, yes, because rent control is such a grand idea. She said, "We need to build the strongest anti-war, anti-genocide campaign in the country and fight and defeat the rich." Okay, what are you defeating the rich over? Like, what does defeat of the rich look like? "The warmongers and both their parties. During my 10 years as the socialist on the Seattle City Council, we won historic victories. The first $15 an hour minimum wage in any major city, the Amazon tax, which at first was repealed and then proved to be an utter failure." And then she says historic renters' rights, which we now have a worse housing and rental affordability crisis than we've ever had before, in part because of some of those historic things she fought for. Anyway, you guys know she's absolutely batshit, right? So our friend Jonathan Cho, God bless Jonathan Cho, he shows up at her campaign kickoff to ask questions, and some very legitimate questions. Nicole, can I flip the order? So I want to do the second one first on anti-Semitism on college campuses. So clearly she is crafting her campaign around Gaza, you know, and pro-Palestine and end the war and all of these things. And so Sawant had asked her a question about the rampant anti-Semitism that we are seeing on college campuses, and given that this is the primary message in her campaign, what she would do to protect Jewish students who might feel unsafe.
"What are you going to do to keep Jewish students safe on college campuses in America who feel like your message targeting Israel is anti-Semitic and also puts a target on their backs?"
I think this question has, you know, is this question that was just asked, at this moment, it is only being kept on life support in very far right media. The truth is that the anger against the genocide internationally has been so fierce that even heads of state, like the leaders in Germany and Canada and in country after country, even though they have not stopped funding Israel, they're still doing it, but there is so much pressure on them that purely out of personal political career preservation or future proofing, as a journalist from The Intercept correctly said, purely out of personal interest, career interest, they're being forced to say Israel is going too far, this needs to stop, and this is a genocide. But the far right commentators like this one, they will continue parroting this line, which is completely out of touch with ordinary people. Anti-Semitism is a real scourge, as is Islamophobia. We have to fight against vote. There is no room for any kind of hate and bigotry in a decent society. And those who are fighting against the genocide are also fighting against anti-Semitism.
That's right.
And what we need to do is continue to unite people across ethnicity to fight the genocide, because guess what? The vast majority of American working people want this genocide to end.
Word soup. But also, if you really believe there's no place for anti-Semitism, why didn't you just answer his question? Why did you attack him rather than answering what is a legitimate question? Where, what are you going to do as a member of Congress to make sure that Jewish students feel safe on campus? And this comes, of course, just a couple days after. So you had the Elias Rodriguez, who shot in cold blood two people outside a Jewish embassy event in D.C. Super UW, which is the anti-Semitic group that was technically disbanded at the University of Washington. Look what just a few hours ago they posted on their social media accounts. Courage is contagious. For Gaza, from Elias. Free Elias Rodriguez. Build the international popular cradle of resistance. This is somebody who killed two people in cold blood. And you have students at the University of Washington right now who are calling him courageous, who are calling for his release. And Shama Sawant wants to dodge a question about what are you going to do to keep Jewish students safe. This group and these people are capable of committing murder. They're capable of murdering students who are Jewish or who they even perceive as being Jewish. We've talked about that many times. They engage in the same sort of hateful rhetoric that Elias Rodriguez did before he committed those homicides. And so Shama Sawant is someone through her rhetoric who has emboldened people like them to engage in violent behavior. And when given a chance, she won't say what she's going to do to speak up for Jewish students. And just in case it wasn't clear, Jonathan Cho also asked her directly about Hamas.
Ms. Sawant, do you believe Hamas is a terror group or do you believe they're made up of freedom fighters? Can you just answer whether or not you believe Hamas is a terror group or
no
made up of freedom fighters?
Anybody else, we're gonna wrap up. Okay.
Can't even be bothered to answer the question. Is Hamas a terror organization? Anyone else not answering questions from him? Is Hamas a terror organization? So she wants to say that, oh yeah, anti-Semitism is bad. Wink, wink. Anti-Semitism is bad. Wink, wink. Absolutely insane. And I think it's very important. You know, I have a subscriber poll we'll get to coming up in a moment. I asked you guys about her chances, and my initial response is she doesn't have a chance in the world. You know, she was already sort of falling out of favor with even the furthest to the left progressives in Seattle's bluest district. You know, the ninth encompasses some areas in the suburbs of Seattle that aren't as blue. Now, look, maybe I am naive in saying that, but this is going to be an important race for Republicans. And I'll tell you right now, there's no Republican who's going to win in the ninth. So I'm sure that some Republican will run a campaign for the ninth congressional district, but the campaign will be DOA. You're not going to win in the ninth congressional district in the suburbs of Seattle. You're just not. So it's going to be very important for moderates and for Republicans to be able to check a box for a Democrat. Fill in a box. You're going to have to vote for Adam Smith. And I know some of you don't love him. I mean, he's been on this show. We disagree on certain things, but I think he's been very good at calling out anti-Semitism. He was even had his personal home vandalized because of it. And, you know, he's been good, I think, we had him on our ICE documentary. I think he's been good at sort of having a nuanced opinion on some of the immigration issues this country is dealing with. This is one of what will be many examples. When there are two candidates you don't particularly like, you're going to still have to vote for the less crazy of the two, even if it means filling in a circle for a Democrat. And if we find out that this race is going to be close, hell, I would not rule out going out there personally to campaign for Congressman Smith. As much as that might piss people off, if this turns into something where she's gaining traction, I absolutely would not rule out personally going and knocking on doors of Republican voters in that district to make sure that they're filling out their ballot for Congressman Smith. And in Washington State, which is such a blue state, you're going to have more and more of these races where the Republican, look, they're present in the race, but they don't have a chance, and they're going to be D-on-D races. Oh, this is a D-on-a socialist race, but, you know, D-on-D races, and you're just going to have to suck it up, and you're going to have to be informed, and you're going to have to vote for one of the Democrats. So anyway, and I knew she was up to something. Can we just say that quickly? Mm-hmm. I knew she was up to something. She quits her job in the Seattle City Council, and then she says she's going to go and try to grow the National Socialist Movement, and she's showing up at protests in D.C. and in Chicago and all of this, and that kind of didn't work out for her. Like, no one was paying attention to what she was doing. But lately, she's been showing up at Seattle City Council meetings like a washed up, you know, a has-been, trying to, again, like, interrupt the meetings with her weird little cult group of people with their red signs. And I thought, what is she doing back in Seattle in the Seattle City Council? Did she give up on her national ambitions that quickly? But she's trying to get her name back in the news so she could launch this, you know, pro-Hamas campaign for Congress. So God help us all. Although, great content for the Undivided podcast. All right, we're going to continue talking about anti-Semitism and the media's horrific, once again, coverage of the terror attack in Boulder, and also an interesting raid that happened here in Washington State. First, if you are thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. I'll tell you, when we didn't have a show Monday and Tuesday, I was in Idaho. I can see why so many people are moving to Idaho. Went across the border, got gas for $3.20 a gallon, and all the streets were just pristine, and there wasn't trash and homeless people anywhere. So if you're thinking about moving to a place like Idaho, I mean, that's sad. I don't want you to.
Or Texas.
Or Texas. Was it nice?
Oh, my gosh. And I drove a rental car around for probably 5 hours total. It cost me $13 to fill it up when I returned
it. Oh my God, yes. Oh, well, yeah, man. Gas. I mean, Idaho, $3.20 is still pretty expensive, but nothing close to where we're at in Washington State.
I think it was $2.30.
Two something, man. So yeah, if you're thinking of moving, fine. We'll miss you. I don't want you to, but reach out to our friend Wes Jones. He's been helping a lot of people who unfortunately are deciding to move out of state, or if you're just moving, you know, to a different place too. He can help you with that. Sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. He and his team have a fantastic marketing strategy to make sure that your listing stands out. And also he can help you in, especially if you've got a house that maybe could use a little touch-ups before it hits the market, just to make sure you get the best possible offers. Those are the homes that Wes specializes in. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. So I was thinking about this whole anti-Semitism thing, and there was this, and you know, the media's coverage of it and everything, which is just an abomination. But there was actually a raid in Washington State that had me thinking, like, this is the only kind of anti-Semitism that the left acknowledges. It has to be this blatantly obvious for the left to call out anti-Semitism. You gotta have the, in this case, literally a picture of Hitler. Literally a framed picture of Hitler. And then you've gotta have the Nazi flag, you know, a few swastikas, and then the left will call it out. Because it's the right kind of anti-Semitism for them, right? It's the easy kind to call out. It's the white nationalists. And this is, you know, easy for the left. Oh, this is a dunk. Oh, here's some white nationalists. Look at how violent they are and all these guns and stuff, which it is. Yeah, this is ridiculous. Just a few details on this before I talk about Boulder. So this was in Thurston County. They were executing a search warrant on white nationalists extremists, as the sheriff's office characterized it. 35 firearms, grenade launchers, explosives seized. They had actually been, this is fascinating, actually. Sheriff's office, the Army Criminal Investigations Division had reached out to the sheriff's office for assistance executing this search warrant. It happened in the city of Lacey. And it was after a violent robbery, theft of military weaponry and armor. So they say the suspects identified in this case were actively involved in Nazi white nationalist efforts. So they'd stole military weaponry and armor. So thank God that they were able to figure out, you know, and obviously I would say if you're stealing military weaponry, you probably have some sort of plot. And so it sounds like that was disrupted, and that's very good. But, you know, I saw that and the first thing I thought is, ah, there's a case of anti-Semitism that the left will call out. That's how obvious it has to be. But if it's anti-Semitism that is violent and perpetrated by the left, it's like their minds explode. Oh my God, but they weren't flying a Nazi flag. So we don't know what to do. And it's our side. And we think, you know, that what's happening in Gaza is bad. So we're going to find a million ways to excuse the violence. So of course, by now you've all heard what happened in Boulder, Colorado. Absolutely horrible. A man named Mohammed Sabri Solomon, 45 years old, an Egyptian national in the U.S. illegally, carried out this, what I guess I would characterize as a firebombing attack on peaceful protesters who are supporting Israel and calling for the release of hostages, the remaining hostages. And so he had kind of a makeshift, I guess, flamethrower, it's been characterized as Molotov cocktails, literally lighting them on fire, burning Jewish people peacefully assembled in the streets. I mean, this is, and he had a long history. When they look back at his Facebook, like, he had a long history of this rhetoric. But again, in the country illegally, had come in under Biden, overstayed his visa. The media coverage of this was insane. So don't even get me started on CNN. So CNN had its talking head experts on the show. I'm not even going to play it because it's so predictable, where they're like, oh, we can't rush to judgment here. The FBI is rushing to judgment by calling it a terror attack. The guy was screaming about Zionists and screaming it about Palestine while lighting people who were gathered to support Israel on fire. And CNN talking heads accused the FBI of jumping to conclusions about what the motive was. Again, if they had been flying, do you need it that obvious? You've got to fly the swastika and you got to have an armband on with SS on it. And you got to be white, of course. You got to be white. And you got to be marching and giving Nazi salutes while you're firebombing. And then we can call it anti-Semitic terrorism. It's just nuts. There was a couple headlines that I just had to point out. One of them was the weirdest. It requires a little explanation, but there's this guy named Ken Delanian. He's the NBC News Justice Intelligence Correspondent. He tweets out, wrap your mind around this one. Worth noting that flamethrowers are legal and commercially available for sale. Elon Musk's company even sold some several years ago. What in the fresh fuck does that have to do with anything? Literally somehow made a left-wing attack on Jewish people about Elon Musk. What is that? And then CNN, a man reportedly set people on fire in Boulder, Colorado, leaving multiple individuals injured, the city's police chief said, as people gathered for a, quote, peaceful pro-Israel demonstration. They put the word peaceful in quotes. What is wrong with them? This attack on Boulder's Pearl Street Mall in Colorado burns several people. It burns several people. Not a human, not a terrorist. The attack burned several people. What is this? I mean, you'd never see it. You'd never see it if it was, again, the traditional sort of, oh, right-wing neo-Nazi out there hurting Jewish people. They just call it what it is. But they treat this so much differently. And then there's this whole wrinkle about the federal government rounding up this guy's family. I'm curious what you guys think about this. Maybe this should have been my subscriber poll for the day. But the State Department has confirmed that all visas for the Boulder terrorist attack suspect's family have been revoked. Get this headline from USA Today. Put aside how you might feel about that. Like, okay, you're also taking visas away from the family. We're just a couple days from this happening. People still in the hospital. Boulder suspect's daughter dreamed of studying medicine. Now she faces deportation. You have to be kidding me. Even if there's an argument to be made that, hey, if they were still, you know, if their visas were still legal, the family members can't be blamed for what your parents do, right? You can make that argument. I think that would be a legitimate argument to make. But here's USA Today. Picture of the terror suspect's daughter just smiling. Boulder suspect's daughter dreamed of studying medicine. Now she faces deportation. You know, how about the people who were burned within an inch of their life? Can we focus on them at least for a couple more days before you weave the sad tales of the terror suspect who was in the country illegally's family? And I got to say, you know, we kind of talked about this when they were letting in, and he originally came on an asylum claim, when they were letting in people, you know, just willy-nilly. And you had Egyptian nationals and people from all over the world, Chinese nationals who would come in seeking asylum, you know, and they'd grant them this initial sort of court hearing. And then they just release them into the interior of the country. And occasionally somebody would be caught who was on the terror watch list. And we would ask, and how many weren't caught that might be coming into the country with motivations to cause harm to Americans? I think this is only the tip of the iceberg. But also, you know, him out there and what he was sharing on social media and the anti-Israel sentiment. His Facebook, frankly, and his posts didn't look too different from what we see many on the left in Seattle posting. They don't look too different. The rhetoric isn't that much different from what Elias Rodriguez was posting and writing about before he murdered two young people in cold blood in D.C. Now, I'm not saying you criminalize that speech, but this sentiment, he didn't have a quote-unquote extremist sentiment in the sense that what he was saying isn't unusual for the left in the United States right now. And this is why it's so problematic, you know, what's happening on college campuses And having these students who, I guess it's free speech to say that Elias Rodriguez is courageous and that he should be released. So yeah, I get it. I love free speech. But if your students saying that on a campus with Jewish students, that you believe that Elias Rodriguez was courageous for what he did and that he should be released, how is that fostering a safe environment on the college campus? Do you believe, and I had this debate over the weekend when I did that Cascade PBS event about free speech. If these were, Nicole, can you pull back up the UW student group Instagram post for me quick? Let's just say that you had white neo-Nazi sympathizing students at UW who celebrated blatantly and openly the murder of Jewish people. What do you think the response would be? Do you think that the left would be falling over itself to excuse it as free speech and saying, no, you can't, you shouldn't kick them off campus? Or do you think they would be like, they should be arrested for this and remove them from campus? The response would be totally different. Totally different. This is celebrating the murder of Jewish people. And it's been totally normalized. And if you don't think, I said this after DC, if you don't think what happened in DC can happen here, if you don't think what happened in Boulder can happen here, why not? We have people who are spewing on a daily basis the exact same rhetoric. They believe, he said, globalize the infantata. They believe that killing Jewish people is justified because of what's happening in Gaza. And they're saying it. They're saying it out in the open. So, I mean, are police looking into these people? Are police trying to track down who operates this account? Because they should probably have their eye on them. Because they're basically saying it's okay to kill Jewish people in cold blood. So I'm very worried. And then you have elected leaders, as we've said many, many times, in our state, who excuse it. They excuse it by not saying anything about it. They excuse it by not condemning it. In the same way they would condemn it if it was white neo-Nazis marching through the quad flying a Nazi flag. This is no different. It's just happening on the left, and they couch it in this sympathy for Gaza. They're going to kill people. Bob Ferguson, they're going to kill people. Nick Brown, they're going to kill people. Bruce Harrell, they're going to kill people. You know this. Pramila Jayapal, they're going to kill people. Shama Sawant, they're going to kill people. And all of you will bear accountability for it, as will the media, for downplaying it in the way that they have. Absolutely, absolutely insane. All right, I've got to talk about this raid in Minneapolis, because this just shows the unhinged nature of these people who glob on to these left-wing issues and hold on for dear life. So, of course, ICE agents have been met with incredible, sometimes violence and confrontation when they've been out doing their jobs. And we saw, you know, posters hung up around Tacoma that basically said, don't let ICE operate, get in their way, block them with your vehicles, scream at them, take pictures of them. So now you have ICE, of course, going around, even when we were out with them for their R special, covering their faces because they're being doxxed. I don't remember which, I think up in Blaine, they were being followed home from work, from the headquarters up there. So they had resorted to trying to take different routes back home because they were being followed and stalked. So that's why they're wearing masks, and all these Democratic politicians want to call them out for, we have masked, you know, nameless, faceless people taking our fellow humans off the streets. Like, well, they wouldn't have to wear masks if you guys weren't so unhinged, right? So anyway, now all these leftist groups are trying to disrupt ICE in any way they can. So a little background here, and I'll play the video. There's this group and they're like wearing COVID masks, which tells you just about everything you need to do. So they saw what they thought was an immigration raid, right? Happening in Minneapolis. So here's what unfolded. Cowards trying to interfere, pushing these federal agents. Were like head to toe in gear. Which should have been their first indication that this was a pretty serious situation, maybe not just an immigration raid. You've got FBI there, you've got ATF there. I mean, look at these lefties. So they're there thinking that they're doing this like real woke, oh my gosh, we're pushing back against ICE. This is an immigration raid. And again, a reasonable person would look at this like head to toe body armor, you know, big rifles, FBI, ATF, DEA. And you would have thought, maybe this isn't just a nice raid. Turns out it was a massive drug bust that these leftists were trying to stop from happening. This is from KSTP Channel 5. Crowd forms around federal raid in Minneapolis. Minneapolis PD says it wasn't even related to immigration. They said it was for a drug trafficking and money laundering investigation. And at the time, the agency's deputies, along with federal agents, were executing search warrants related to an ongoing criminal investigation into a massive drug trafficking operation. How dumb would you have to feel? They're not going to feel dumb because they probably still think it's justified and still think it's wrong to, I don't know, arrest people for drug trafficking. But they're up in the faces of these federal agents. You're cowards. Well, they're trying to get deadly drugs off the street. Well, they're literally trying to make your community safer and save lives. Wasn't even a nice operation, which is glorious. It's absolutely glorious. All right, I've dogged on the Democrats a lot today. Time to dog on the Republicans. I don't get this. So there are, of course, you know, you got Navy ships and they have names, right? Typically, they're named after people with some sort of military excellence or presidents or something. But there's a John Lewis class of ships that is named after people who've had sort of, like, I think one is named the Ruth Bader Ginsburg or something like that, right? Which is a little weird. But one of them is named, or I guess was named, after Harvey Milk. So if you're not familiar with Harvey Milk, he's like a gay rights icon, right? He also, though, served in the Navy, and he was assassinated. So he's, I think, mostly known for being a gay rights icon in the state of California. And his name is on a Navy ship. Well, 2 days into Pride Month, the Trump administration has ordered that his name be removed from the ship. Secretary Hegseth orders Navy to rename ship honoring gay rights activist Harvey Milk. Why? Like, look, why? Wait till after Pride Month. And they're doing it intentionally. And look, Harvey Milk was in the Navy, so I feel like this is a different situation. He actually did serve the country. He was murdered. And he's a significant figure in American history. Now, I feel differently about the Ruth Bader Ginsburg ship. Like, what does that have to do with anything? So I get it. I get it on that. But Harvey Milk, I think you can make an argument. And there's a lot of ships in the Navy. There's a lot of ships that need names. You know, you're not going to, and I mean, I'm surprised, I guess, that Donald Trump didn't get rid of the ships named after John McCain, just out of a pettiness. I mean, he really hated John McCain, but before he was in public office, so Harvey Milk enlisted in 1951 in the Navy, attended officer candidate school in Rhode Island. I think he served in the Navy for about 4 years. And he was discharged at the rank of junior lieutenant after he was threatened with court-martial because of his sexual orientation, which, again, I think is another sort of reason to name the ship after him. Like, he had to leave the Navy because he was gay and he was going to get court-martialed over it. So I think there's all this historical significance to it. This is the kind of stuff that doesn't make sense to me. The DOD came out and said, Secretary Hegseth is committed to ensuring that the names attached to DOD installations and assets are reflective of the Commander-in-Chief's priorities, our nation's history, and the warrior ethos. There's also the Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Sojourner Truth, John Lewis, and Thurgood Marshall ships in this particular class of ships. This, to me, this does nothing for your cause. Mm-mm. It does nothing. You look at things and you do things, and some things you're doing just because it's right and maybe it's not popular. This doesn't add anyone. This is subtraction. You're not adding anyone to support for the president, support for your movement by doing something like this, that's this petty. Like, and again, I don't care too much about Pride Month, but he's one of the most significant gay rights activists in American history. He lost his life over it, and he couldn't continue to serve his country over it. And you're going to take his name off a little ship. This is the kind of shit that just bothers me to the core. And it used to be the reason why I wouldn't vote for Donald Trump, because this sort of stuff bothered me. I kind of got over that because I liked his policies. But this is the kind of stuff where if Republicans want to lose in 2028, this is the kind of stuff they should continue to do. Being sort of hateful and spiteful for no reason. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm sure some of you will disagree with me on it. I look forward to hearing what you have to say. But it's just hateful and spiteful. There's absolutely no reason for it. Absolutely ridiculous. And it gives Democrats an easy dunk. Easy dunk. All right. Do you agree with me, Nicole?
Yeah, I definitely think it was unnecessary. I don't know that I agree that it takes anybody away, and of course it doesn't add anybody. I think that it's one of the people that are supporting or that are really celebrating Pride Month and that are celebrating milk. Trump assumes, or Pete assumes, that they are their problem right now, and so they're willing to do anything to piss them off.
Yeah, I don't know.
It really feels like that. It feels like just hey, look what we can do, piss you off.
Gavin Newsom put out a statement saying Harvey Milk wasn't just a civil rights icon. He was a Korean War combat veteran whose commander called him outstanding, stripping his name from a Navy ship. Won't erase his legacy as an American icon, but it does reveal Trump's contempt for the very values our veterans fight to protect. Hate to say it, I agree with Gavin Newsom. Might not hear that very often on this show. All right. Still hate Pride Month, though. I do. I hate it.
Oh,
I hate it. I'm over it. Totally over it.
I'm getting so many emails and texts and about different schools that are putting out Pride stuff, different government agencies that are putting out Pride stuff.
It's send that to us.
Out of control.
Send it to us. And also ask if you haven't already, if you have a kid in public school, what, if any, sort of Pride Month activities, lessons that are going to happen, because they will. And you deserve to know. So proactively ask them what's happening at your kid's school. All right, we'll get to our daily subscriber show poll coming up next. First, I've told you guys to take the First Mark challenge. It just takes a little bit of time, and you could be saving thousands of dollars a year on your insurance. And think of all the things you could do with that. Man, we had an undivided viewer who saved $7,000 a year just by doing the First Mark challenge. She has better insurance, and she's saving $7,000 a year. And it's like, why would you not do it? Our friend Brock Heward, of course, former UW quarterback and sports radio host, also took the First Mark challenge.
Yeah, you are technically their customer, but you will find this out when you make that call. They're your teammate right alongside with you, only wanting the best for you and rooting for the best for you and taking away all the stress and confusion that comes with this crazy insurance world.
Yeah, that's the big thing for me. No stress, no confusion. They handle it all for you. They just send you some emails, sign this. Like, okay, done. And it's just so nice. I just don't know how I ever got by without First Mark Insurance. So First Mark Insurance, First Mark Insurance, firstmarkinsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you. Okay, daily subscriber show poll. Man, I missed you guys. I did. I was kind of sad. And then all this news was happening. And I'm like, I miss my homies. And I was in Idaho, which was actually really, really nice. And just the weather was gorgeous. So I missed you, but not that much. I did enjoy some time away. And Nicole, of course, was in the free state of Texas, which I'm sure she enjoyed as well. We'll have to hear about that coming up in comments. I asked you guys in our daily subscriber show poll on Patreon, Locals, and X, do you think that Shama Sawant has a chance of winning? Am I just crazy in dismissing her chances outright, Nicole? Yes or no?
Whoops. My little mic flag just fell off.
I know. We have a fix coming for that.
I do not think she has a chance at this moment. I see her strategy here.
Don't give me a weak answer. Say yes or no.
I say no.
Okay.
But I see the strategy because Adam is so normal-ish.
Yeah. He is normal. He's fairly normal.
Yep.
I don't have a big issue with
him. And I am concerned about him. Because they'll make him out to be evil.
Well, they will. And he's already had his home vandalized over just like, you know, October 7th was bad. You know,
right.
Hamas is a terror group.
My God only forbid. Hope is that, you know, because the surrounding areas are included as well. It's not just Seattle voting. So I hope that sanity will overcome.
Well, and the other thing is if he wants to combat, you know, her whole tax or what'd she say? Defeat the rich. She's rich.
I know.
She's rich. Her and her husband are millionaires. She's rich. It's always the rich lefties who are like, tax the rich. God, I can't even get over it. So you guys are 30% of you say yes, she has a chance of winning. 67% say no, she does not. Bill, she will work hard at trying. I think most people would prefer a closed mouth. Yeah, like not talk as much. I mean, yes, for sure. E, apparently people have completely forgotten that our district made a huge effort to recall her and brought charges against her. It is because of that effort that she did not run again. Yes, the problem is with mail-in voting, and it has been a problem since Rossi when politicians successfully figured out how to cheat. What voters vote for and what actually happens are two different things because the people that don't vote outnumber us, and that is a vote. Yes, not voting is a vote. And that's why I say Republicans are going to have to vote for Adam Smith. Okay, you heard it from me here. I will come over to your house and I will watch you vote for Adam Smith. No, I'm just kidding. I won't actually come over to your house. But I mean that genuinely. If the congressman's, if it comes down to that, and look, I'm sure they're, whoever the Republican candidate that jumps in is probably someone I'm going to know. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to support their campaign because they're not going to win. And that's just a waste of time. It's a waste of resources. You're not going to win. Focus on something that you can win. Maybe over time, that'll be different. I'm sure there's people right now yelling at me for saying this. But if it comes down to it and it's close, I'll walk 100,000 miles to try to get Republicans to vote for Adam Smith to keep Shama Sawant from getting in office. It's ridiculous.
Can you imagine
what
if she made it in?
God, I Endless. Yes, I can. Unfortunately, I can. I can't
Endless
imagine
content.
Let me see. Gen X says, don't underestimate her, Brandy. She represented Madison Park and the wealthy communities in Leschi and the waterfront for over 10 years. Survived the recall. She could absolutely win. Adam's base is normal people who don't normally get involved in politics. They have jobs, families, and are busy. It's not the first time, though, Adam Smith has had a challenger from the left, but it is the first time it's been someone with the name recognition of Shama Sawant. Sherry R., with how this state accepts once unthinkable persons, policies, events, I would not be surprised. Yeah, that's true. There's like policies that were like, oh, of course not. That's unthinkable. Well, rent control, you know, and it happens. Bonnie, I certainly hope not. Surely people have seen how evil she really is. I mean, I hate to say it, she says evil things. You know, she's vilified police officers, which I think led to direct attacks and assaults on police officers. Her inability to call Hamas a terror organization or to say, I don't know, one thing she would do to protect Jewish students when questioned about it at her own press conference, like you invited the media to come there, I think just shows you that her rhetoric has and will continue to lead to violence. Oh, Jackie lives in the ninth. Okay, mm-hmm. Jackie, let's see. From someone who lives in the ninth, I sure hope not. She won't get my vote, but I wouldn't put it past anyone these days between low voter turnout and Sawant's tendency to manipulate to get an advantage. Oh, you know Sawant will be out there making sure she's rallying the homeless vote because that's what she's very, that's what she does. She's very, very good at it. David, no, but her goal is to push him to be more liberal and progressive. And by primarying him, he ends up committing to those issues to get past her and get those votes. That, I think, is the danger. Mm-hmm. Will Adam Smith sort of acquiesce or make himself more palatable to the far left to be able to avoid losing? I don't know, because, again, it's not his first time being challenged by the far left, and he's come on our show multiple times and spoken out about the tactics of the far left, even knowing he'd face a primary challenge again. So I think a little more of him than that. But I think you're right, David. I think that's a very smart way of thinking is what will this force Adam Smith, if anything, to do to try to keep voters?
She doesn't like cats. I don't trust anyone who
doesn't like cats. Yes, this is she likes dogs, though. She's very notorious for not liking cats. I think I've told this story before. I was doing an interview with her back when she would still talk to me when I was on Fox 13 and we were sitting at a cafe. This is during one of her elections. And this cat, she all of a sudden stands up totally frantic. This cat, first of all, it was a cat on a leash on Capitol Hill, which tells you everything you need to know. But this guy had his cat on a leash outside, and it was like a half a block away. Mm-hmm. And she went inside the cafe, wouldn't come out until the cat was gone. She has like a serious cat phobia.
Interesting.
But she likes dogs, so... And she posts pictures with her dog.
I like anybody who doesn't like animals.
I kind of don't want her to have a dog, but... You know, she seems to be nice to her dogs seem to like her, you know, so I don't want to rob anyone of the love of a dog. And maybe the dog will rub off on her and she'll stop being so hateful.
Right.
You know. All right. A couple comments. How was your trip to Texas? Good? Hot?
It was good. It was warm. Yeah. It was not overly hot. Mm-hmm. I was in Galveston, so it's pretty windy and a nice breeze blows by. But yeah. And at the Gulf of America.
Oh, my God. I forgot to bring it in. Nicole brought me a shirt.
Yeah, I did.
You want to go get it?
I
can just say. It says Gulf of America. She's like, I got you something. I'm like, I don't need anything. What did you get me? And then she gave it to me. I was like, this is the best thing I've ever received. And she was saying that, so the guy at the shop that sells these Gulf of America t-shirts, because there's only a few left, he said he can't keep them in stock. It's been like the biggest money maker for them is these Gulf of America t-shirts. Okay, Nicole brought it
back.
Yeah,
they can't keep them stocked apparently. Yeah. So it was hard to find the graphics.
You're not
graphics.
On camera.
I know. Okay. The graphics that I wanted, but yeah.
Gulf of America. Love it.
Yeah. And then
I'll be wearing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, it was really fun. And like I said, cheap gas, man, that was beautiful. And good food. And, you know, yeah. I had family time. I have family down there, so we... Yeah, spent family time and it was all good.
I rolled over the Washington-Idaho border like on fumes because I'm like, I will get gas in Idaho. Oh, yeah. I was like, hey, it saved me like $20. So I was like, oh, why yeah. would I not?
All right. It's just crazy what we're paying here.
It's just horrible.
It's just not okay.
It's going to get worse. All right. On the dad wanted for murdering his three daughters, Diana says, I'm a tough old broad, but this story literally brought me to tears. And I truly wish that all who enabled this face some sort of justice. It is devastating. And reading the details of it, which again, I'm not going to put on you. If you want to hear those details, you go read it somewhere else. Just horrifying. Three little girls, all under the age of 10. Awful.
I just feel like we're in this reactive thing. Like we have to wait till something gets bad enough or like yeah. to assert like to levels that we should never get mm-hmm. to in society for people to suffer any consequences or actually take some precautions and it's just out of control. And this is one of those situations where this person, I think he was probably suffering. He like PTSD, something, yep. I don't know, mental health, whatever.
Yep.
If you can do that, you've obviously got a mental health problem.
I agree.
And so this was an escalating thing. And instead of being proactive and like seeing something is going on and government stepping in or the military stepping in, whoever it is, I think that we just, you know, want to keep families together.
Yeah.
And this is the type of thing that are happening.
Yeah.
There.
It's and it's like
just this case.
Why not? We talked about this a lot over the last year on the show. And look, I think there are some differences with this case where the other parent didn't really have an issue with the visitation as it wasn't like a parent was fighting against, you know.
I mean, so she had to
it
fight
was a little
to
similar.
Get him. I mean, she was fighting. It sounds like she had, you know, been a part of, you know, no sleepovers, no yeah. visitation, these
limits.
Like, limited,
she definitely wanted limits, yeah, it sounded
which
like.
It right. sounds like there was some disagreement to some extent, but she believed he loved them and wouldn't hurt them.
Yeah.
But again, it's kind of the situation where, the courts, this mom has only dealt with this person.
Yeah.
The courts have seen many people. There are judges that have seen yep. this 1,000 times. They should step in and be like, you know what? This person is homeless. This person is this, this, and this, has this list of things that are problematic. So you know what? I'm going to be a little proactive and say, we're going to make them until you can do all these things, because he did have a list of things yeah. he was supposed to be doing.
And he wasn't doing
them. And he wasn't doing
so
them.
It
so until
away.
You do that, these are supervised visits.
Yeah.
And even if the mom didn't request that or whatever it was, but there should have been some proactive. We've seen this a million times. This is what we need
yeah.
to do.
Our state is not erring on the side of protecting kids.
No.
And we see that with the drug addicts where they said, oh, but we'll send parents home. Literally, this happened with a lockbox where they can lock up their drugs. So the drugs aren't sitting around.
Right.
So you got a parent who uses fentanyl and you think they're going to lock up their drugs so they can visit their kids unsupervised. And we've seen that end tragically so many times. Mm-hmm. So the state, in the name of wokeness or laziness or whatever it is not erring on the side of protecting children. And that is and continues to be a problem.
They
so sad.
Keep pretending that keeping families together is for the children.
Right.
It's not.
It's not. It is not at all. And H says, I have supervised plenty of visits for homeless parents. Supervised being the key mm-hmm. term. I wonder if you've experienced times where homeless parents had unsupervised visits, which I think would be a little bit odd. And again, I'm not saying every homeless person is dangerous or bad, but there's some reasons why you're in that situation that I think really should question your stability.
And just exposing kids to the things that happen in those
right,
situations.
Right.
Keep the kids away from that.
Sandpiper, what was the court thinking? I worked in family court. Dads who had no issues whatsoever sometimes had hard time getting visitation. And here, yeah. And that's the thing is every court, you know, can be a little bit different in the standards that they put forth. All right. On the boy in girls sports, Sergeant Pickles, I feel bad for that boy. He was led astray by parents and is now getting booed. And then I read the interview in the Times and I thought, that's probably still parents saying, adults, you're doing the right thing. You're not doing anything wrong. You are doing something wrong. You are. And I wish that he could see that. But he's clearly like, screw you. You can't tell me anything. I'm going to continue to do
right.
this.
I also blame some of the
you know, if this person has got any guidance from, I don't know, therapists or whatever, but that a lot of them are telling parents, would you rather have a dead son or an alive daughter or whatever? Like the parents are being brainwashed just as much as the kids are. So some parents are obviously like pushing the kids towards it. And some parents are just being brainwashed to accept it.
Yeah. They're being told their kid will kill themselves.
Right.
If you don't just accept this reality that they're in. And so they want to be loving and caring and this is what they think that looks like. It's just, it's hard. Hello, Watermelon. I don't even think boys and girls should have gym class together. I disagree with that. There's, you know, it toughens your character to get hit in the head a couple times by a dodgeball thrown by a boy, you know? Get hit, get back up, you know?
Do they allow dodgeball anymore? I don't even know.
Probably not.
Probably not.
No, it's probably like dodgeball with a feather.
Right.
A feather. All right. You can't, I don't know why this popped into my mind. Now I'm just going to say it. And then you can only throw balls at the white kids. You can't throw the balls at anyone who doesn't have white skin because then that's racist.
Right.
Matthew Cook, when your ideology is rooted in narcissism, why would you have any remorse? Yeah. True. This is like a narcissism-driven thing, I think, in a lot of instances. Katie, women shouldn't have to fight to protect Title IX. We already won that fight. Yeah. And then you have men working against you, like the governor. And I just think this is an issue that I think can become a mainstream fight if more people continue to speak up. Papa Woody, $5 super chat. Incredible how the unhinged left always abuse MLK when trying to relate and excuse their weirdness and violence. Yeah, leave MLK out of it. He had a dream, and it's not this dream. I promise you that.
And I really think applied more to girls than it did this kid.
It did. So he said, I'm going to keep doing what's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're not doing what's right.
No, not so much.
You're not doing what's right.
And if there's a risk, well, there's a risk to the girls.
Cynthia, way to go, ladies of Tumwater High School. Keep standing tall. We're proud of all of you. Yes, I'm so proud for the Tumwater girls because I know that took a lot of courage to do that. And they'll probably be vilified and bullied for it. Mm-hmm. Tiffany, this is completely out of line. I requested information from my children's school via 3 emails, 2 phone calls in regard to their Pride Month celebrations. This was on Monday, June 2nd. My emails are always responded to within a day. This one, they have completely ignored. Interesting. Not Will shocking. You keep us up to date on that, Tiffany? Because I want to know if they continue to ignore your emails. Because, I mean, they can't, right? If you ask for supplemental material or what's going to happen, don't they have to tell you? I guess before they upended the principle of rights. Maybe not anymore.
I guess.
Eric also lives in the 9th. He says, I live in Renton and I wouldn't vote for Sawant. If I have to, I would vote for Smith. You're going to have to. You're going to have to. On the terror suspect, Matt Gilbert, the Seattle Times said people were injured, like in quotes. They put injured in quotes in the Seattle Times.
Well, I think he's just saying that they said injured instead of like thrown fire.
Yeah, like lit on fire.
Burned, lit on fire. He's saying they were injured, which sounds like, oh, they twisted their ankle. Yeah.
Robin, the daughter of the flamethrower was involved in protests as a high schooler. Not so sweet anymore.
Yeah, there's no way these people have been living with him and they don't have some of the same ideology or same thoughts.
And you're a guest of the United States. You're here on a visa asking for safe refuge here, you know?
Part of that is, who are you living with? Oh, terrorist.
Yeah. On the Minnesota raid... Brenda, that's rich coming from the people who tried to force everyone to wear masks.
I know. They're mad about the masks.
Oh, they're mad about the masks.
They're the ones that were like, you have to wear a mask. Right.
Well, and then they're out there. Oh, my God, you guys. So I went to this Cascade PBS debate on free speech over the weekend, which now I can talk about this. Glenn Greenwald canceled at the last minute. I wasn't going to go around the event organizers. And
he wasn't feeling well.
Oh, my God. So I have to tell you this, and this will probably make like national news because everybody's talking about it. So Glenn Greenwald is supposed to come to this free speech debate. It's supposed to be him, me, Nadine Strossen, you know, kind of a soft debate on free speech. And, you know, the day, 2 days before, this news comes out that there's this sex tape that had been put on the internet, really kind of grimy stuff with Glenn Greenwald and like maybe a meth pipe. It looked like some sort of meth pipe or drug pipe on the bed. And he's like paying a prostitute, right? And look, somebody put that video out there without his permission. I am against that in every every form, fashion. I do believe he's the victim in that case. And I also don't care what consenting adults do amongst each other. Now, when you're a member of the media and your job is to criticize other people, yeah, I mean, that doesn't look good. And you kind of lose your ability to sort of have the moral high ground or to criticize other people or politicians for their shortcoming. But anyway, so this happens. And I'm thinking, no way he's going to come to this free speech debate when this video comes out and he's got all this national attention. So we get this email the day before and it says
But then he didn't cancel in this statement was implying that he wasn't going to let it get to him,
right?
Yeah,
he put out a statement saying, people leaked this against my knowledge, which again, I think is really, really wrong. And he said, I'm not going to, you know, let this deter me. And so we saw that and I thought, okay, well, maybe he's going to come to this free speech debate after all. And then we got an email saying he was sick. And I'm like, okay, now look, I'm not dumb. He's not sick. He might really actually be feeling unwell, but he's not sick. You know, don't treat me like I'm dumb. He's obviously not coming because of all this. So then we go on stage and there's this whole audience there. And I venture many of them were there for Glenn Greenwald. I mean, he's kind of a big deal. And they didn't tell the crowd until we're on stage that Glenn Greenwald wasn't coming. And so they're all sort of looking around because there's only three chairs, you know, one for the moderator, one, two for us. And people are sort of like, where's Glenn? Where's Glenn? Because we walked on stage and he just wasn't there. So that was a little bit awkward.
Tell people and they paid for tickets, right?
They paid for tickets, but it's a whole day's event. But I'm sure there were some people who paid to watch Glenn. And then, of course, the whole time, nobody applauded for me. And I did get heckled a little bit. This lady stands up and she's screaming that my words are killing trans people or something like that. I'm like, okay, you know, you should probably call the cops then if
there
killing trans people.
There was nobody there to applaud for you. Not even a couple.
There was a couple. The only time I really got applauded was when I said something bad about Donald Trump. And it was like, yeah, yes, yes, Brandy. And I'm like, okay. But I knew.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was grateful for Cascade PBS for having me. Their team was excellent. They were all very, very kind. They put on a good event, whether Glenn was there or not. So just thought that was interesting.
Feeling unwell.
Papa Woody with a super chat. Washington State is feckless when it comes to kids. Remember poor Oakley Carlson? Yeah. Greg, nobody with only 4 years of service should have a naval ship named after them, no matter who they are, period. But he got kicked out because he was gay, which you wouldn't get kicked out because you're gay nowadays. So I don't know. I'm fine with the ship. I think it's a stupid, petty thing for the Trump administration to do, especially on this, the holiest of Pride months. speaking of that, Nicole, thank you. Speaking of Pride Month, let's get to our closing sanity check. Oh, this is a lot of fun. So I, of course, driving to Idaho over the weekend, I stopped in Spokane Valley at a Target store because I needed a few things that I'd forgotten. And I walk into the Target store, and what do I see? Lo and behold, on the second day of Pride Month, biggest front and center display in all of Target, USA, USA, literally. The one right there on the corner. Every Target has it, right? It was a USA family first full display. Kids with USA t-shirts on, even a white kid. I was like, whoa, they let a white kid with a USA t-shirt in there. I mean, it was glorious. And I thought, oh my God, is America healing? Because of course, Target got a lot of criticism for their Pride Month display, which last year was front and center. It had those, you know, bathing suits where it said you could use them to tuck and all this pride stuff, you know, catered towards children. So then, of course, in good journalism fashion, I went along the store and I was like, surely they have a pride display somewhere. It was in the back by the dressing rooms in a corner. And it was like three shelves.
Wow.
It was like three shelves. And I didn't see any tuckable bathing suits. So I was like, oh my gosh, sanity is making a comeback.
Wow, that's interesting.
I feel it.
There's Juneteenth coming up too. And there wasn't a display that last year. There was a gigantic. I'm guessing that stuff didn't sell very well.
They skipped over it and went right to USA.
Wow.
You guys, I love to see it. Let me know if you see similar displays in your local Targets. That has been our closing sanity check. Missed you guys Monday, Tuesday. I'm sorry for abandoning you. I know there was so much going on. I'm sure that you managed. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to what we're trying to accomplish on the show. I think Target watches the show, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm going to take responsibility for that.
Okay.
Specifically because of the Undivided podcast. Every Target store in the nation is now prioritizing patriotic gear. Yes, boycott over. I never boycotted Target, by the way. I can't. That just would be impossible for me to do. I love it. I love it too much. If you have not signed up to support our show, we're still running that 30% off promo. I think it's going on for another week or so. I don't want to give you the wrong date. Yeah, it's going on until June 13th. So you've got about 10 days to take advantage of it. 30% off an entire year. We would absolutely appreciate the support. We're not quite to our goal of adding 300 new paid subscribers in 30 days. You can help us reach that. UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. Just click on the banner that says support the show. That's it. Okay, we'll see you back here tomorrow at noon.